Welcome back to the Digital Soup Podcast, a hilariously geeky podcast that challenges what it means to be a geek today. As always, we're bringing you all the latest geeky discussions, including our breakdown of the PlayStation Classic and the games we want to see on it. Amazon is putting the woman in the tube in everything, and we move on to round two of the Digital Soup Super Fight Club Season 1. Don't forget to stick around for our unsigned music spotlight featuring a track from The Clays, so pull up a chair and get your geek on. Jason, let's get this show started before we pull a Vikings and get buffaloed. Stupid Bills.
Oh, wow. Nice one, Dave. Didn't your mom tell you if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything, all right, man?
I agree.
Jeez. All right. Everybody, welcome back to Digital Soup, the only podcast that believes, you know, air should be free. Then we bought a bag of chips, and we're like, I'm paying big bucks for all that air. Because there's like only half a bag of chips, the rest is air. I have to explain this to you guys?
Well, why is there so much air? And I'll tell you why. It's to keep the chips from getting crunched and crushed in the while they're being, you know, transported around and delivered.
Well, then shouldn't it say half air, half chips?
Why don't you say half chips?
I will say half chips if I need to, but I don't
need to.
This guy's
half chips. I tell you what, though. A place where you can bet all your chips is the Digital Soup Podcast, bringing you the latest in stuff.
In soup and digital stuff.
Yep. Do you like soup? And do you like computers?
Well, we put the two together, and it's awesome, dude.
Yeah, they typically don't mix because electricity and then strange brothy liquids, but this time around it does.
Yep, exactly.
My name's Dave.
All right, everybody. Well, to all the new listeners just joining us.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, my name's Jason, and joining me in the virtual studio today is Adam and usually Dave. How's it going, gentlemen?
Howdy.
Doing well.
That second voice was actually Dave. The first one was Adam. So yeah. Just if there was any confusion there.
Now I'm actually Dave. I thought I was usually Dave.
You've graduated.
Oh, I suppose having not missed a show in almost 100 episodes.
Oh, we'll make you miss one. Hey, Adam, drive over there, punch him in the face.
Yeah, because that'll end well for me. Have you seen Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, big ball of blubber.
He looks a little bit like Kane without the mask, and I'm just talking the face.
I'm not. Is that a compliment?
I'm not. No,
it's not.
I'm not arguing. I just don't have that.
Did I tell you guys this story about how I was at a gas station? I don't know if you guys know my haircut. Look at my picture on the
thing. Do you know my haircut?
So anyway, I had just cut my hair.
Is it sort of like
a... Very short on the sides.
Business in the front, party in the back?
It's not mullet, but... Anyway, I'm in paying for my fuel, and I'm up there paying, and this girl walks in, and the cashier says to her, "Hey, so-and-so, did you forget something?" And she goes, "My mom told me to tell you look like DJ Khaled." And I look up, and the woman at the cashier is, I don't know, maybe in her 50s, white woman. And I'm like, what the heck? That's not accurate at all, if you guys know who DJ Khaled is.
That's not accurate at all.
And the cashier looks at me and goes, "She's talking to you." And I turn, and this girl's just staring at me, and I said, Oh, I didn't know you were talking to me. She goes, "Yeah, my mom told me to come in here and tell you that." So
you should have said, "Does your mom want an autograph?" Like,
I said, "Is that a good thing?" She goes, "Sure."
Like, sure.
Like, wait, your mom actually told you to go into a store and tell a stranger they look like DJ Khaled. Like, okay, that's nice.
I don't even know who DJ Khaled is.
Google him. It's Google DJ him. And then K.
Isn't he a big white dude?
No. Let's see what.
Am I getting that wrong? I was picturing a big white dude for some reason.
He is from, drum roll, he's from America, but he is Middle Eastern in descent, but he has the song that's "All I Do Is Win, 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 No Matter What," and some of that stuff.
All I do is win.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. But if you look at his picture.
The Minnesota Vikings definitely aren't singing that, are they?
It's a dude with a beard and... I just thought that was strange that somebody would actually tell their child to go tell a stranger they look like.
Right. Somebody. That's bizarre. I thought that's where you were going with the gas station thing after, you know, the whole Vikings reference earlier and all of that. Because I pull up Sunday, I don't know, early evening, fill up my gas tank. You know how most gas stations, they have the little you know, gas station TV or whatever they call it in the pump, where it's kind of showing sports highlights and this and that.
Gas TV.
Now, keep in mind, I was at a Holiday gas station, which is a Minnesota-based company, and the play that they are choosing to highlight on gas station TV, GSTV as they call it.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Was it the hurdle?
It was the first touchdown when Anthony Barr got outrun by the rookie quarterback from the Bills. And I'm like, you know, this is Minnesota. You could have maybe just found something else to put on instead of rubbing that horrible crap in their face.
Replayed the Miracle in Minneapolis or something.
Anything. But yeah, I thought that hurdle was
impressive.
Yeah, it was impressive and it was incredibly stupid. No, exactly. I mean, just from a purely any football player, because you see so many times people injured. Do that.
Yeah.
And if Anthony Barr, who got hurdled in that case, our linebacker, would have just stood up the slightest bit, he would have grabbed that guy either right in the leg, flipped him so he lands either head first, neck first down, you know, breaking necks, concussions, or catches him midair and just throws him right back to the ground, which definitely could have hurt him as well. So
that's what I would have done.
It worked out in his favor, but yeah, definitely not a bright move from the rookie, but it worked.
That game, let's just bypass that, because anybody that watched it knows how terrible that sucked.
Yep.
It's going to become a classic, though, definitely.
Is there anything, so that was bad. Is there anything good coming up anytime soon?
Oh, yeah, there's another classic coming up in December.
Really? What kind of classic?
Yeah, the Disney Stars on Ice classic.
Exactly. Oh, Goofy is hilarious. See, I can't do that. I can do a Woody Woodpecker.
The PlayStation's coming in December.
That's not even close.
That was better than what I could have done. So what's going on here is Sony is going to throw their hat into the ring and release their own little classic mini console, going to be called the PlayStation Classic this holiday season. What's great about this is going to come preloaded with 20 genre-defining titles, but they've only announced 5 of the titles so far. So we're going to play a little game here in a second. We're going to guess what the other 15 are, but the 5 that are announced, keep going, man. But the 5 that are announced are Final Fantasy VII, Tekken 3, Ridge Racer Type 4, Wild Arms, and Jumping Flash. I owned all of these but Wild Arms. I believe that's an RPG, but that's the only one I didn't play out of these. And those 4 are pretty good. And Jumping Flash is, that was something that was so different at the time. It was a first-person Mario Brothers type game, but you play this little robotic rabbit, but I mean you're going through this 3D world all in a first person perspective, and it was actually pretty dang cool. So that's gonna be a good
I don't remember that one at all. I don't know why.
God, I got that on launch day, dude. Why? Maybe you're just like Jump and Flash, and you threw it to the side and it wound up underneath my couch or something, and we never played it.
Well, I think I had my PS1 before I met you, actually, but I don't remember Jumping Flash. I know the rest of them. Wild Arms, oddly enough, did I ever tell you guys the story about back when I was in college?
And you had restless arm syndrome and you started punching everybody because 5 of you slept in the same bed, a la Scott Pilgrim. You had Wild Arm syndrome. Boom, boom, boom.
No, I was going to say, and when I was in the weight room, I'd be pumping iron and getting ready for football season.
Tough guy.
That's what people would call me, as old Wild Arms.
They call you Wild Arms?
Old Wild Arms, yeah, old Wild Arms.
Were you lifting really fast?
No, just massive guns.
Oh. No, he looked like...
Okay, so I made that all up.
I was going to say he looked like a gunslinger from the 1800s.
It was more like a spaghetti western, not a... Spaghetti arms.
So, no. Did all 3 of us own one of these systems?
I did, but later in life.
Okay.
I did from just about launch,
Yep, I bought mine on launch day, and just a quick story here on how I purchased my PlayStation 1.
Oh, can I predict how it went?
Go ahead.
You're like, got in the car, closed the door, drove to the store, handed him some money, and said, could I get this out of the case? Yeah, sure, no problem. Boop, 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 bring it up, and they gave it to you?
Well, no.
Oh, you stole it.
To get the money for it, I actually sold my computer.
I thought you were going to say you sold your body online.
Yeah, exactly. And I made a lot of money.
Took him 10 years.
I only had, I mean, this was back in the day when I only had one computer. Now I have like eight, but right. I only had one computer at this time. And I actually, you know, put it up on, you know, those little ads you could do in the local newspapers, that little section where you put in a for yeah. sale, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Well, I had done that back in the day because this was all pre-internet or very early internet. So I wasn't using it for anything like that. And I sold my computer. I got about $1,000 for it. I went and purchased the PlayStation, and I believe it was $300 or $400. It might have been $399 on launch, if I can remember right. And then I purchased, I believe, most of the launch games, which was about 5 or 6 I purchased. And then I went and purchased an extra controller, a couple memory cards, but I spent the entire grand I'd got.
Wow. Well, that was a thing about that system, right? You know, everyone got so excited to pick it up, and that was still back in the memory card days. A lot of people don't remember that because it really wasn't a long stretch, you know, because when you look at Nintendo, Super Nintendo, all those systems, there really was no save games, and anything you did was all password oriented. Like, you'd get a little code and write it down, and then you
sucked.
Yeah, and then you'd have to plug it back in to pick up where you left off at that last point and all of that. And then PlayStation came out, and they were they the first to introduce the idea of a memory card? But I can't remember, but one of the first.
I think they probably were, because the only ones that beat them to market was the Panasonic 3DO, and I believe it had a little EEPROM that you could save games onto, and then there was the Sega CD.
That's right.
Yep. And the TurboGrafx CD, and I don't believe either of those had memory cards either.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and I remember
all internal memory, just a little bit amount of internal memory.
Well, and you'd buy that, and then you'd have to buy these stupid memory cards, which would have the average, the normal one that people would get would have, what, 12 or 14 slots on it. And some games were taking
I bought the 1 terabyte one, so I had like 1,000,007 slots.
No, these are literally, at first, they were literally like 12 to 16 slots on there, something horrible. Like that. And a lot of these games would take 2 to 5 slots, especially the bigger ones. Mm-hmm. And I remember especially the sports games, you know, when you're playing seasons of sports, would take up a lot because it was saving not only your progress, but the entire simulated season you were playing and everything else. And it was frustrating. And then they did end up coming out with some bigger ones that were like double capacity, but
and
still.
And you're forgetting, Dave, not only did it save, like what you just said, your season and et cetera on the football game, but it also save any roster updates.
Yep.
It would have to actually have that on the save card.
Yeah, and that was a royal pain in the butt. I still have... Oddly enough, I had a binder full of PS1 games, and I can't find it anywhere, but I do still have my working PS1, but I just have no games for it, so...
Hey,
You have my binder, don't you?
I do!
Oh, no.
I was moving, and I found a huge-ass binder of PlayStation 1 games.
Oh, send it to me. I that way I don't even have to buy this PlayStation.
Jason doesn't have
classic.
A good track record of sending PlayStation.
Shut it.
On the same day, right, send Adam that PS3.
That is just so funny that you mentioned that. That's because awesome. When I went through my, because I'm in the process of moving, I know our listeners might not know or even care, but I'm in the process of moving, and I actually found my original PlayStation 1 with the LCD screen, the little one,
yep,
awesome. With the controller. And
no,
I found
that's
my,
not the original one.
No, the PlayStation 1. Remember, the original right. PlayStation was just called PlayStation, but this is called the PS1.
Right. I have my original PlayStation in working order still.
Okay. Well, I have the cooler one that's smaller.
Yeah, and you have all my games.
But I don't know. How can I word this? I don't have, I believe, your original games. I believe I have your backup games.
Because
Dave made backups of all his games.
Yeah, no, I had like 40 original games that I have. I have all of the boxes, like the jewel cases for. No games in them. They were all in that binder with everything else. So
he's got a bunch of jewel cases.
Yeah, back in those days, I had backed up a lot of games. While someone on this podcast, not named Adam, might have backed them up for me. and had a nice little device to
Steve?
Plug in. Yeah, and Steve backed those up. And
rarely
and,
Steve.
He, you know, set me up with this little device you'd plug into the back and a spring and a boot disc, and used to back up a lot of games, you know, 20
years ago.
Yeah,
made it nice
ago.
So you wouldn't have to damage your originals.
Yeah, it was. They were supposed to be sitting in the jewel cases, but
yeah,
somehow they're not.
What did you do with all those bad boys?
Well, apparently, what I did with them was ship them to Ohio when you moved, apparently.
No, you didn't ship them to me. Somehow yeah. I had... So I don't know why I had them.
We probably had everything at your house, and when you were moving, got packed up initially. But that's funny. So now that mystery's awesome. Solved. I don't even
that
need to
mystery
buy a
is
PlayStation
solved.
Classic.
Now I'm hoping I did not throw them out. Because when I did originally find them, I didn't
drama.
Find my PlayStation, and I'm like, I thought I sold that, you know, that little PS1. I thought I had sold that.
Yeah.
So I might have thrown it out.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
What? Heartbreak.
You can't do that. You can't give all this hope and then dash it.
This is just like the Bills game.
Oh, it's good for the show. Oh, man. We're going back to that.
Just my heartbreak.
Yeah. All right. So we all know that the PlayStation Classic is coming out in December.
Yeah.
One of the hosts of the Digital Suit podcast already has his pre-order in, all excited for it. He will receive it, a said host, don't know which one it is, but that host did say that he was not opening it. It's actually going to go on a shelf as a collector's item. So that's pretty exciting.
And that that host probably is a little bit brain dead.
No, that host actually has a PS4 and could play anything he wants anyways. This is just going to be a collector's item.
Hey.
But anyways, here's what we want to do. Since we're talking about the original PlayStation, and this was a massive system at the time. No CD-based system came out with quality software like this did. I mean, the Sega Saturn was a bomb. The Panasonic 3DO was a bomb. The TurboGrafx-16 CD barely sold in the U.S., sold a lot over in Japan because it was called the Turbo Duo and it was one unit. But in the U.S., they always like to do their add-ons, and you had to add it onto the original system and put it on this plate. It was just stupid. So when the PlayStation first came out, we're not going to get into the whole big long story, but the PlayStation was supposed to be the Nintendo PlayStation. There's some awesome articles, movies, everything on it. But Sony got basically screwed by Nintendo. Nintendo decided to go with Philips instead of Sony. So Sony said, well, screw you, Nintendo. We're going to release the PlayStation, and we're going to destroy your N64. We're going to sell more units. We're going to have more games, blah, 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 which they did. But back to what I was going to say after I went on that side tangent, and I'm going to trademark that, side tangents.
I think
and let's talk about the games that... Let's talk about the games that were really huge, that really put the PlayStation, the original PlayStation, in the stratosphere.
You mean like that, Mario?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Mario. Yep. With those CD sounds, right?
Yep.
No, I'm serious. What games do you... Let's start with Dave. Let's just go a roundtable type discussion here. Dave, if you had to pick one game out of the PlayStation 1 lineup that was like the PlayStation defining game, what would you say that would be?
I don't know if I could pick just one like that, because I guess it depends on, you know, kind of what you're looking at. I mean, a lot of people will look at Final Fantasy VII as being that game, you know, because it was a huge step forward. But for me,
Final Fantasy in the series.
Yeah, but for me, it just...
For me, it was.
I like... It.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge game, but like I've said before, I never actually played it. I watched the whole thing played from start to finish, and really, it was really cool. I really thought it looked awesome.
See, Dave was twitching it way back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Just watching people play.
Yeah, analog twitch is what it was. But, I mean, so it really depends on how you define, you know, that comment. I mean, I think looking at it, for me, I have definite favorites that I went back to time and again, and games that stood out to me as being kind of, you know, this was the game. These were the games that I really loved this system for, or some of them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have to look at, you know, probably something like Resident Evil, you know, which was huge. at that time, even though it was later dubbed the, you know, best door opening sim ever because of those crazy load screens. But Resident Evil was fantastic.
Yep.
Silent Hill, same thing.
Oh, yep. Silent Hill was great too. So, yeah, I guess it is kind of hard to say, hey, what is that one game? But there is a lot of games that, you know, really defined the system. Mm-hmm. And like you said, those are two great ones there. I'm going to throw one out here for me real fast. We're going to have Adam go last just because that's the way I roll.
And I suck at this.
So. And he's got a super short list. He informed us ahead of time. So,
all right. So here's the thing with the system here, I'd played probably one or two games sort of like this in the arcade, but not really on any home console. But this game captured me. It was so amazing. It was so fun, so fluid. Pokemon? Something I could not do in real life, but I could do in this
that's,
game.
That's and, most games, but go on.
Exactly. But it was just, I mean, between the music and the controls and everything, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Yep.
This game was insane how awesome it was. Who would have thought a skateboarding game could have been that much fun?
Well, you remember back in the old NES days, there was, what was it called? Surfing.
720?
No, no.
Is the one I was thinking of.
No, I'm thinking of even before that. Like, it wasn't Surfing Turf, but it was basically a...
It was
something.
Hungry,
no, it was something similar to that though, where it was like a mix of skateboarding and surfing.
Oh, the hacky sack game?
No, I don't.
California games?
Maybe it was California games. I don't know. But I mean, that was the closest we saw skateboarding, which was this kind of 2D, obviously, you know, really difficult and kind of lame skateboarding attempt. And Tony Hawk Pro Skater came out, and man, like you said, it blew the doors off. And we put hours into that, learning the tricks and all the button combinations and different cool things you can do. And like you said, the soundtrack alone was just amazing. You just sit and skate and you know, be working on these tricks over and over. And it made it so that when you'd go into like a practice mode or a free ride to learn the different, you know, tricks and all of that, it didn't feel like a lame practice mode because the music was so good, which sadly is probably why we will not see it on the PlayStation Classic, because the licensing for all that music might be a big issue.
Might have expired by now because maybe they only had it licensed for that one release, and any future releases does not encompass. How about you, Adam? If you had to pick a game here or two that you really loved, that you really thought was defining of the system.
Well, I don't know if I would go that far, but I was a big fan of Bushido Blade, which was like a really blocky, low-rated samurai sword fighting game. I like the martial arts one, so I guess there was Tekken as well.
Tekken was good, yeah.
I like those ones. Mm-hmm. I always liked the fighting games on PlayStation.
So you liked Kung Fu on the NES?
I owned that one, yeah.
Well, it's I think terrible. All of us did. It is terrible today, but was that not amazing?
I never. I don't know that I really played it on the NES that much, but I remember playing it at the local roller rink in the arcade format.
Well, here's you know, Digital Soup. We are having a giveaway right now. We're giving away an 8-bit Doe NES Classic System controller, which has the turbo buttons. And we were talking about the turbo buttons before, but this just reminded me, Kung Fu was one of those games I turboed. I had what was called the NES Max, and it was a third part. No, it was the first party, I believe, controller, but it was it had a more ergonomic shape. And it also had turbo buttons. So I remember playing Kung Fu, and that leg was like, and just kicking everybody like mad.
Yeah. I wish I had that button. That would have been awesome.
Oh, it was awesome. I breezed through that game. And track and field,
like some kind of...
track and field, nobody could touch me with my NES Max. People like, you can't use that controller. I'm like, I bought that controller. I'm using that controller.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
The NES Max, precursor to iPhone.
Yep. Yep, the NES Max. I love that. Yes. Yeah, NES S Max.
Yeah. Max XS.
X Max.
Sir, Tanner. No.
So is that the only one that you really loved there? Those are the Bushido Blade?
That one, like I said, Tekken. Those are the ones I can remember. Honestly, it's been a long time.
I am so much older than you, dude.
I know. We all know this.
I've probably partaken a little less extracurricular stuff that you have? I'm saying you're smoking the Chiba.
Nope. Clean there, son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Digital Soup Podcast is the only podcast where all three hosts have never smoked marijuana.
Fact.
And we probably should. It makes the show so much better.
It might slow it down for people. I don't know.
Right.
Possibly. All right. Well, here's the next thing I'd like to do here because, like I said at the top of this story, only five games have been announced. Mm-hmm. So everybody on the internet is speculating. I mean, everybody, even Alex Jones, he had a little.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
My great aunt, who's only on Facebook every now and then, she's been putting out Facebook posts about what she thinks will be on it.
Are you serious? No, you're not. I didn't think so. All right, so who wants to run through their list? Well, let's let Adam go because he said it's a short list.
I'm just going to observe your lists. How's that sound?
No, okay, you want to go first, Dave, or me?
Yeah, we'll just throw them out there, talk about them a little bit. So these are in no particular order. Yeah,
And any ones that I have that you have too, I'll say, yes, I did, and I won't have to talk about it then.
Okay, sounds good. What about first one up that I had listed, the game was called Driver and Driver 2.
Oh. Yep.
Fantastic games. Kind of the precursor to what we come to know as Grand Theft Auto in a lot of ways, where you had the mix of awesome driving, kind of free roaming the city, but also, you know, getaway driver. That was the deal. But you were outside the car as well. You know, you had story elements there.
You are the wheel man.
Right. And it wasn't an early game. They came out a little bit later into the system, but it was fantastic. I played both of those many, many times over and just absolutely loved them.
And see, I remember Driver 1 more. I don't know. I probably just never really got into Driver 2 that much.
Well, I played Driver 2 so much I got a backup of it even.
Yeah. Well, you backed up all of them because they would spin so fast in your PlayStation that they would start on fire.
It was like the old cassettes. I'd just play them so much they'd wear out, so I had to make a backup.
Yeah, and you always had to have a backup if you were going to use the cassette in your car because those car tape decks ate tapes. I hated that. Yeah. But anyways, back to your list.
Yeah, so another one, you're going to laugh when you hear this, but this is one that, for me, very memorable. The game
Barbie's
itself,
Dreamland?
No. Parappa the Rapper.
Yep, that's on my list too. Yeah.
If you remember when you and I went and I bought this game and I was all excited for it. And remember I sat down and had it beat in like, I don't know, something crazy, half hour, 40 minutes. And it was supposed to last longer, but I think just a little bit of an advantage being a drummer and the rhythm-based stuff just kind of came easy. But this was really the precursor to what we would come to know as Guitar Hero. Mm-hmm. You know, essentially the tapping to a specific rhythm and making music. You made your raps, which furthered the story and did your thing. And still a lot of those songs I can recall, you know, as far as how they went. Because I know I beat it in like a half hour, but I bet you I played that game all the way through start to finish like 700 times. I could sit down and play it start to finish in one sitting. If I want to just play some games in an afternoon, I just beat that game. And it was just a lot of fun.
Some of those tunes were pretty pretty catchy. As Dave would say, they were earworms.
Yep, absolutely.
Got worms in my ears.
Yeah. Yes. Now, did you ever play the sequel? And I can't remember if it's Unjammer Lammer or Unjammy Lammy.
It was like U M.
Yeah.
Jamma Lamma or
Unjamma Lamma. I got it wrong both ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jamma Lammy or something like that. Yeah.
I don't think I ever played that one because I was past the PlayStation at that time. I think I had already had my Dreamcast at this point.
Yep. I bought it. I did play it. And same thing as Parappa, beat it very quickly. Although they did add more songs and more battles, I guess you'd say. So it did extend it out a little bit. Didn't quite have the same impact with the songs being quite as good, although there were still some good ones. A lot of familiar characters, but definitely a game I put a lot of time into, even though it wasn't super difficult, at least in my estimation. But
next?
Next up was one that I never did finish, but I absolutely loved it because of the look and the story, but that was a game called Vagrant Story. One of the favorites that I'm really hoping shows up on the PS Classic.
Yeah, that was the really brown-toned RPG, right?
Yeah. Yep, everything was kind of this earthy toned, you know, a lot of these real earthy tones, but it was late into the system. And the reason I never finished that game is I was very deep into that game, getting close to the end, and I got my Dreamcast and everything stopped on the PlayStation. So,
yeah.
That's why I never finished it. Another one I put many, many hours into, I mean, probably arguably more than any other game on this system was NFL Game Day 98, which we've talked about before. That particular year of that football game was probably one of their best, and it was a game that just I couldn't get enough of. I played it every single day. It was just...
It's really sad that that franchise did not continue on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was... It was... I mean, for the time, it was a perfect NFL experience. Just the right amount of, you know, strategy and kind of sim feeling with also having that fun... big hit kind of arcadey kind of feel, but nothing over the top. It felt so perfect. Mm-hmm. Why don't you give a couple off your list here and we'll right. jump back and forth.
I've been checking mine off that you've been saying, mm-hmm. so I don't have to repeat it, but here's one. And Dave, you're going to totally agree with me on this because I remember both of us, we would play this game to death. The story was awesome. The actual play mechanic was so amazing with this game, and it was Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver.
Yeah, I don't remember it on the PlayStation. I played.
Oh,
it on
did
the,
we play this on the Dreamcast? Yep, am I screwed up?
Yep, that was a. I mean, it was on PlayStation, I believe, yeah. but I played it on the Dreamcast a ton.
Okay, so I did too. I mean, the play mechanics are going to be exactly the same, probably just a little bit better, cleaner graphics. Mm-hmm. But Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver was so amazing. I loved how you would get your health and stuff back after you defeated an enemy by
their
taking
souls.
Their essence. Yeah, yep. I guess it was their souls. Yeah, Soul Reaver, duh. But just
I'm
everything about
essence.
This. And I even remember the beginning story a little bit. Is like somebody kicked you down into the fiery pits of hell or something.
One
and
of
it
the
burned.
Angels.
Was it any? Okay. And this game was
no,
just...
it was a it was the head vampire.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of the name of it. Kain. No, not Kain. Kain is your character. But yeah, it was one of the big main vampires, because that's who you were working your way up out of the circles of hell, basically. And working your way out of the underworld and had to then confront him, I believe, at the end. I could be wrong on that. It's been a while, but I'm pretty sure that was it.
Now, I'm going to go through four of mine really fast here because, surprisingly enough, you know, some people might laugh at me. Some people might agree with me. But I feel that, you know, sometimes the first iteration of a game is awesome, but... when they refine it and they bring out the sequel, it's even better. And I have four games here that I thought the sequel was even better, refined in every way, and I hope it's on the system. I'm going to go with Tomb Raider 2, mm-hmm. which I thought they cleaned up the visual so much better. I thought the story was better.
Right.
And the mechanics, everything. Resident Evil 2. Oh, my right. goodness. This game was insane. I loved the sequel.
Membrane.
Yes, the sequel was
right,
just
Becky.
Yeah, so much better.
So
and then
much
we already
better.
Talked about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Two was so amazing because it yeah. added so many new features, like all these you had to find like letters and notes.
Well, and that's when you started to be able to do much more with the environment.
Yeah.
You know, crashing through windows to find secret ramps that you could, you know, use as your own skate park, like secret rooms and stuff.
Yeah. It was great. And it had the same awesome, you know, real soundtracks, mm-hmm. which was just huge for the day. I mean, back in that day, you did not have all these awesome real artists on games. Mm-hmm. So again, this was the go-to game if you wanted to hear some cool music too. And then the last sequel is Twisted Metal 2.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the first one was, you know, genre defining, but this one was just great. It refined it and it was just so much fun.
Right. Yeah, I played
two
and three quite
a bit. All right, so I
quickly
did six. I quickly did six of them there. So why don't you go with a few more here, Dave?
Yeah, let me blast through a couple. This group here, they're all kind of similar or the same genre, but they were all very different playing in individual games.
Oh,
but
the
I
Hello
loved
Kitty
all,
series.
No, I did, no, I did love all these games. Great. I played them a lot. And what I'm talking about is ECW Hardcore Revolution.
Oh, I forgot about those. Yeah.
WWF Attitude, WWF SmackDown 2, and WCW Mayhem. Because if you remember, at the time, those were all three separate factions. It was not all part of the WWE. They all played a little different. SmackDown had probably the best gameplay out of all of them,
along with
a pretty sweet story mode. But the WCW, ECW titles were a lot of fun and played a lot like the Attitude and Warzone type of titles. But that's where we got, for the first time, the ability to not only play as our favorite wrestlers and have these awesome matches and everything else. You saw blood. These games took the, you know, wrestling genre, lets you go in a no-holds-barred, you know, anywhere in, you know, pinfalls anywhere. You know, ECW obviously got very bloody, throwing people through tables and all that kind of stuff. It was the first time you saw that kind of gameplay in a video game. And all of them, you know, lets you, you know, you kind of, if you were a fan of wrestling, you needed to have all of them if you wanted to play as all your favorite characters that were spread out across the different, you know, divisions or different companies, basically. And that's when we saw, you know, you'd get WCW because you wanted to have that Goldberg and the NWO and all of that. SmackDown was its own thing. You know, that's where you saw the classic stars, Stone Cold and The Rock. Of course, WWF added to the same thing. And in ECW, you had guys like Taz and Tommy Dreamer and Raven and all those guys. So that's kind of one genre, the wrestling games.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let me blast through a few more of these because I just looked at the time and we've hit over a half hour on this first
Right, yeah.
So I'm going to say 100% this game, this next game is going to be on it. I don't think there could be any argument. Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, I never played it.
That is most definitely going to be on there. That was a huge AAA top-selling game there.
Let me throw two at you that I think will on there. That should actually absolutely be on there.
Bam.
Crash Bandicoot and Metal Gear Solid.
Yep, I have both of those on the list too, definitely.
Bonus for Crash Team Racing.
Yep, I got that on there too. And you know, there's going to at least be one Spyro on there. It has to be.
Yep, you would think Spyro should show up.
Yep. So now here, I'm going to throw something out at you here. I played the first one, and I believe I completed it myself, which is very amazing. And I believe you completed the sequel. But these games were awesome. And throw one on there. We need some more RPGs. Mm-hmm. Parasite Eve.
Yep. I played both of those, actually, through all the way through. Both of them were fantastic. Kind of the first cinematic approach to a game. Yeah, absolutely love those.
And of course, Dave's favorite, Ape Escape, has to be on there.
No.
Ape Escape.
No, but what about, I know we've mentioned it before, the Tenchu Stealth Assassins, Nighttime Ninja Fun. And, you know, as much as we love Metal Gear Solid, don't forget the game called Siphon Filter and its sequels.
I was trying to, dude.
Yeah, Siphon. I really enjoyed those games. It was classic sneaking Metal Gear Solid type where you know, stealth meant just as much with both Tenchu and Siphon Filter as the ability to pull off some sweet combat.
Yeah, not too bad. And I'm going to throw my last game out there that I'd like to see on the PlayStation Classic, and that would be Mega Man X4. I thought that was pretty dang sweet.
I never played that either.
Oh, I played so many Mega Mans. I love Mega Man. Yeah. I actually on Steam bought the Mega Man collection. I think I have like 8 Mega Man games.
Yeah, Mega Man, I loved it on the NES. I just never played it on the PlayStation. Here's a couple more to round out this list. Do you remember a series called Army Men?
Yes, I do.
Vaguely.
That was a lot of fun. It took our favorite little green plastic army men from when we were kids and turned it into a full-on combat shooter, you know, fun game. I won't say it was the best game ever, but it was a lot of fun to play. Another alternative, if they can't get Tony Hawk because of music might also pose a problem for this, but do you remember the Dave Mira BMX freestyle games? Very similar, only instead of skateboarding, you're riding BMX bikes.
I think I might have played that one.
Yeah, that was a real big series along with right after Tony Hawk because it kind of latched on. The extreme sports took off. Now, this last section, I'm going to throw 4 games at you real quick, but they're all kind of the same thing. Marvel versus Capcom, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, and X-Men versus Street Fighter. All kind of that fighter, Street Fighter style game, but those were all very, very cool on the PlayStation as well.
Yep. And I'm sure there'll be at least one of those on there.
You would hope so. Yeah,
they would have to be. Seems like all of them, they're trying to give a mixture. Mm-hmm. And I was watching a video earlier today on the speculations of what might be coming on it. And this one reviewer actually did bring up a good point, is they're probably going to even bring up obscure title, maybe one that was only released in Japan and that was it.
Yeah.
But then have it a localized version here, something nobody's ever played. They were saying like Star Fox, how Nintendo did it with the Star Fox 2, never released. Maybe they'll do something like that here.
Yeah, could be. Could be. Either way, I hope it's good. And whatever they've come out, it's kind of strange that they waited. I mean, this thing comes out in December. It's weird they're waiting this long. But
well, it's easy enough because literally they just take the, I mean, it's basically just ROMs. They could all the way up until they actually start pressing the, well, I was going to say discs, and it's not, when they're burning to the EEPROM, they could change it up all the way up to that point. I mean, they don't have to, you know, seal it in early.
Right. One thing, I mean, we'll switch this up a little bit. We've hammered on this PlayStation Classic. I mean, there's some fantastic games out there. But just to switch things up a little bit, we've got some tech news, and these will be a little faster.
This just in.
Yeah. Digital Soup, a geeky tech podcast.
All right, Dave, you're doing the intro on this one.
Well, it's just a little bit of news that I saw.
You can't do it.
I can't do that voice. Do you want it? Otherwise, I'm just going to jump in.
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
We're going to jump in. So we know, you know, most of us are familiar with how Snapchat lets you do these stories that last 24 hours. Instagram and Facebook took it and made it extremely popular, even more so than in Snapchat. Apparently, Google is now adding a stories feature to their search functionality. So when you, they're looking at doing this. So when you go into Google and you'll search for whatever, you're going to see, at least at first, they said it'll be a lot of celebrities and influencers and well-known people, you're going to see these stories pop up about whatever you search for. I mean, can't we just list information?
So I'm searching for PlayStation Classic, and I'm going to get some celebrity doing a PlayStation movie?
Well, yeah, you know how, like in Facebook or Instagram, you get that little bar across the top that'll say, so-and-so's got a story, you know, new stories.
I've never watched one, unfortunately, so I don't know exactly what they are. I watch
them from time to time, and they're kind of interesting. They're a cool way to add a little more, you know, personality and, you know, information to your feed or whatever it is. But in a search bar, I mean, we've seen it where they'll pop up, and it's like, okay, here's videos related to your search. Here's, you know, images related to your search. And now apparently there's going to be a stories section where you can click on it and watch people talk about whatever it is you search for. I don't know. Exciting. This seems kind of lame by Google. Gets the big old WTF from me.
Well, do we have to be inundated with social media stuff all the time?
Yeah, that's my point. Let me just, if I'm searching up, you know, how to cook. Give me the
top. At least make it so we can shut it off. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me the top 50 chicken barbecue recipes. I don't need to see stories from some, you know, Instagram celebrity in quotes.
Oh, you can't even get a recipe now without reading through a blog post.
Yeah. Yeah. This is true.
Just give me the recipe. I don't need to see you making it.
Exactly. Although I will say, I do
watch those videos and they make me hungry.
Right. The ones that'll show up,
or
BuzzFeed.
Yummy.
Yeah, Yumly does them, and BuzzFeed will do a lot too, where it's just, they just show like fast action as they're making it with the text popping up, no sound or nothing. Those are pretty cool.
It makes me so hungry.
Well, soon you can just ask Alexa and she'll just be able to cook it for you.
Because she's everywhere.
Yeah, you guys see this in the
show Amazon notes, yes.
No, Amazon no. They had an event, I think it was last week, and they unveiled a lot of new devices that they're looking at putting Amazon Alexa, the woman in the tube, into. So they are literally looking at putting Amazon in everything from your car to your microwaves. I mean, they have this voice function, you know, from Alexa. Sorry, we're triggering it. We didn't give a warning. But they're looking to add this into literally everything, and more every day is coming out since this announcement from Amazon. It's kind of cool on one hand that, I mean, everything's getting connected, but this whole Internet of Things is maybe getting a little out of hand.
Well, it's going to get worse from here. I mean, there's estimates on the how many millions of devices or billions have it now and how many trillions are going to have it in the future.
Mm-hmm.
The scary thing is kind of like a sci-fi movie, if you think about this stuff. If it's all connected into one system, all it's going to take for somebody to take over your whole house and all the things
right.
in it is a sophisticated hack of some sort.
Yeah.
Scary stuff. I mean, do you need your microwave? I'm all for it, you know, adding internet, you know, connectivity to something where I would actually benefit from
right.
being able to handle it remotely, but a microwave.
No, the best thing would be to have it for your toilet, because then what it can do is it. Yeah, because it could, you know, it'll test your urine and let you know if you're having prostate issues or you might be pregnant.
I hope I'm not.
It can actually use.
You never know.
It can actually, the bowl as the turds slide down. It could actually test your stool for any type of anomalies.
On the plus side, Adam, from that last bit of information Jason gave us, I am no longer hungry thinking about those recipes.
Yay!
Oh man,
yummy!
But get this though, Chuck. Amazon. Yucky. They're not only trying to add this to more and more and more technology that we use every single day, which, okay, I get it. They're also using artificial intelligence to make Alexa smarter. And they've got this new feature they're working on called Alexa Hunches, which will analyze patterns based on this article in Time magazine. It's going to analyze patterns and alert you when things change. So, for example, that they give, you can say, Alexa, good night. And it will say, you left the porch light on. Should I turn it off? And that is terrifying to me. That all of a sudden it could be on the very base, like innocent service. But think about how this could go extremely bonkers in a hurry.
Okay. Well, hold on here a second, though. Yes, possibly, but I'm thinking of some other things real fast here. So you are, baking a cake, right?
Yeah.
And you completely forget about it. And you go, Alexa, good night. And Alexa goes, Jason, don't forget about the cake in the oven. It still has 5 minutes left.
Wow, yeah. Mr. Domestic here making his own cakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But wouldn't that be awesome, though?
Well, it would.
Yeah.
I mean, safety features like that would be awesome. And especially if you could do it remotely where, you know, this is one positive for it. I'll play devil's advocate to my own argument here. But you go to work in the morning. And you're sitting there and you're like, shoot, did I turn the coffee pot off? Or, man, was the oven still on? And you could just, you know, say, Alexa, turn off the oven at home or whatever,
At some point, yeah, we're going to have the fully decked out smart home. They've been talking about this since the 40s.
Right.
You know, everything computerized or automated. And I can envision I don't know. Don't you think an actual house, like a server that manages everything within the house? Does it all have to go through corporate Amazon, though?
Right.
That's my question. Sorry. Why are we sending all this stuff? I can't do
that, Dave.
Yeah, exactly. did somebody program you to kill the humans?
Hey, can I just derail us for a second here?
Sure.
I'm disappointment level with you two is very high at this moment. I had some comedy gold there. And nobody even made a comment about it.
Oh, at HAL 9000? Old.
No. Dave said, I'm going to play devil's advocate. And I went, hooah.
Well, I think what you meant to do was, hooah.
Is that the sound that, yeah, hooah.
Well, I didn't say I could do the perfect impersonation, but you should have known what I was doing.
That was much more of a, what up?
But I wanted some recognition that you thought of that.
Well, when you bust out the Budweiser joke with frogs, then we'll laugh.
Okay.
Actually, I just totally missed it. But
what time is it? It's time for a kickoff. Hooah!
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 Devil says hooah.
Yeah. So we are
what's up
in.
Today? What do we got?
We're kicking off. We're kicking off round two. Oh. Round two of our I've given this little series a name. I hope you guys don't mind. I've got a bracket ready. We'll post it up in the show notes as of right now. Mm-hmm. Not in the show notes, but as of when we post this on the website. And I'm calling this the Digital Soup Presents Super Fight Club Season 1.
Nobody talks about Super Fight Club.
Right. And so with that, we're going to end the show.
Yay!
So who wants to battle? I've got the list here. And so why don't I let the two of you battle this one out? Because this first battle in round two were both winners of mine early on. And so what we have,
brag it up.
Well, I'm just saying, it might be easier to have the two of you argue them since I've already argued both of these.
Yeah, let's do it. Who do we got?
We've got 100 Crazy Cat Ladies with Acid Blood versus Amish Darth Vader on a jet ski. So who?
What are the second powers on each of them?
That was all of it. Because when we drew them, it was 100 Crazy Cat Ladies. It was a crazy cat lady. There's 100 of them with acid blood.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Yeah.
And then it was Darth Vader, who is Amish, on a jet ski.
Gotcha.
So it's 100 crazy cat ladies with acid blood, Amish Darth Vader on a jet ski. And if you remember, the crazy cat ladies beat the werewolf on a battleship, and Darth Vader defeated that hair controlling evil doll. So who wants to be who?
I think I'm going to take Adam out. Meow.
So you're the Jason's 100 crazy cat ladies?
Yes.
All right. Who's going to Jason picked quick. Adam, you want to make the first swing in this fight?
I'll get right into this.
Yeah.
He may be Amish with the last name of Yoder.
Yoder.
Not to be confused with Yoda.
Yeah. In training I did. A fireplace I'll make you. Awesome beard I have.
So Darth Vader, yeah, he's the jet ski. Optional. He likes to use it to cruise around, have fun, but ultimately at the end of the day he's still Darth Vader, which means he has the Force, he has the dark side, he has a lightsaber. A crazy cat lady, even 100 of them, they're no match to the power of the Force. Sure, the lightsaber is handy, but he just needs to use the Force to lift them all up and crumple them to a ball and chuck them off into a lake where he
think
had a
of
jet
this
ski.
Think of this. This works perfectly, actually. Darth Vader's on a jet ski. And the crazy cat ladies just defeated a werewolf on a battleship, so that ship sank. So Vader comes cruising up on his jet ski. Maybe that's the scenario.
This is how the fight started.
Yeah.
He's like, what'd you do to that thing?
Yeah.
And then 100 of them are like, oh, we're crazy.
Did you go?
No. Those are your cats.
So Adam, if I'm understanding right, you're just going to round them all up in a ball with your Force powers and dump them in underwater
and drown them.
Yep. Drown them all.
No. Okay. He doesn't even need to use his lightsaber to cut them.
Okay. So, right. Cat Lady, what do you say to that?
All right. Well, since I've known many of a cat lady in my lifetime, they have had no less than 10 cats each. So we're looking at probably about 1,000 cats now. So these 1,000 cats...
Insignificant.
No, they are not insignificant because they have the power of the acid... Force. Did you say blood or spit?
Blood. The cat ladies have acid blood, not the cats.
Oh, just the cat ladies, not the cats.
The 100 crazy cat ladies bring all those cats with them, but it's the cat ladies that have the acid blood. If I remember from the original, the very first... super fight challenge.
So here's what happens. Here's what happens is everybody has seen a cat video on YouTube, and it's the proverbial rabbit hole, as Dave would say. You watch one cat video, it's 18 hours later, and you're still watching cat videos. So what a dozen of these cats are going to do is they're going to start doing a live action cat video, and Darth Vader is going to just start watching it. And he is going to be so enthralled, he's not going to know what's going on behind him. So as he is watching these videos, these live-action cats doing videos, these 100 acid-blooded cat ladies are going to come up behind him. They're going to steal his lightsaber. And they, because they have the Force. No, that doesn't work. no, they're going to sneak up behind him. There's going to be 10 of them right on top of him. They're going to tap him on the shoulder. and he's going to automatically turn on his lightsaber, and he's going to cut all 10 of them in half, which releases their acid blood all over his armor, all over his breathalyzer in the middle of his chest.
His breathalyzer.
Whatever that gizmo is.
He was drinking that night. He was getting tested for his jet ski.
Can you please blow into this? I got to fly my X-Wing. I'm a TIE fighter. Boy, I said X-Wing. That's pretty bad, huh?
Wow, do you even know how to Star Wars?
I do not know how to Star Wars.
Okay.
but hey, now this acid blood has completely melted his helmet. He's having a hard time breathing. The acid has gone on his bald head, and it is melting his skin, going right into his brain, and his brain is just bubbling right now because that acid blood is all inside his brain.
So, first of all, that's disgusting. And then, second of all, you know, Darth Vader is going to approach the shoreline on his jet ski, see the cat ladies and their cats, and he's going to go, you know what? Cats hate water anyway. They're not coming out here at all.
Well, so that's why.
I'm going to sit on my jet ski. I don't have YouTube in my visor. I didn't subscribe. I don't get free streaming through.
I said live videos.
Live action, videos. So the cats action. Suddenly get out production recording equipment with their.
No, and they're not making videos. They're enacting it live in front of them.
I'm picturing
just
like
cute things.
I'm picturing, yes. Yeah, like Puss in Boots
trying
in the
to
Shrek
jump
movies.
And then miss it by like a foot.
The vicious cats get those big cartoony.
Oh no,
eyes.
Cucumbers! There's cucumbers next to all these cats.
Darth Vader uses the Force, just kills them all. Boom. Done.
No, it's not that simple.
Oh, it's totally that simple. He's like, I don't like cute cats. I'm a dog person. Be. And then he just kills them all.
Hmm. No, I'm sorry. Not going to happen.
Well,
you know what?
What's the third ability of the cats?
Darth Vader killed children, so.
There's 100 of them. Cats don't have any abilities.
Okay.
There's 100
regular cats.
They're regular.
Does anyone else, when they hear 100 crazy cat ladies, if they're all on the beach, picture like these Jersey Shore type, hey, Rhonda, we've got these blah, blah. Oh, my gosh. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
No. So any final last-ditch attempts from either of you?
I don't know. That was the best fight I could think of, and Adam's right. Poo-poo in it.
So here's let me break this down. The Force, I think, I don't know that he can take care of 1,000 cats and 100 crazy cat ladies with poison blood just by wrapping them all up in one Force ball. I'm not sure. I don't know the limits of Vader's powers in that respect. I will say this: Vader does have, as cruel and mean as he is, remember. He is saved at the end and ends up getting that hero's death as and becoming a good Force ghost with Obi-Wan. So there is still some good in him. So he might see those cute little kittens and cats and maybe not want to attack at first. However, Jason, your theory falls apart for me. When you say 10 of them are right there, he turns around and cuts them and it spews blood all over. That would not happen because a lightsaber will cauterize it. You have never, ever seen a lightsaber wound bleed ever because
okay,
the laser cauterizes it. There will be no blood, just 10 cat ladies cut in half.
How about if I say all 100 of these cat ladies are menstruating?
Oh. Vader leaves because he's sick.
He probably
yes, winner, chicken.
He probably turns that jet ski around and then buries it in the middle of the ocean with him on it to escape that fate. But
so what you're saying is I just won.
No,
thank
I,
you,
I, I'm
Dave.
I'm saying that
Judge Rule.
Judge Rule thinks that Vader will ultimately just either via lightsaber.
That's the judge rule.
Either via lightsaber or force choking. He will eliminate all of these cat ladies. He don't care at all about the cats because they can't do anything to him in his suit anyways. They don't have any special acid blood or anything else. So he's just going to proceed to slowly destroy and eliminate 100 crazy cat ladies. He killed that many or more Jedi children in the academy. He's not going to have a problem killing these crazy cat ladies. Yep. Even if he does momentarily stop. Maybe he leaves this battle with 1,000 cats as pets.
My prize.
But no matter what happens, I think Vader destroys the cat ladies.
Even with the menstruation.
I do think so.
Especially.
I do think so. So we're going to say Vader wins this one and moves on next week. Ooh. Next week.
No, honestly, I can see Vader and the little rascals with magnetic powers somehow maybe coming to
Let me give you the remaining three matchups. This is what's coming up. Next week, Vader is going to face the winner of a Spartan in a potato sack that can summon anything from a hardware store, or the flaming marshmallow man riding a battle cat. Ooh. The winner of that matchup is going to move on to face Vader, and that makes up one half the final four. The other matchup is Meatloaf, a fire-breathing Meatloaf trapped in an antique diver's helmet versus the two little rascals in a trench coat with magnetic powers.
How did he win?
And was armed with a trident. Miley Cyrus? No, he was fighting 50 glass duck-sized horses.
Oh.
And then the last matchup is the mad scientist that can turn to steel, whose hands are covered in butter, versus
a laughing turtle.
No, versus a ninja beaver armed with a lightsaber who is literally afraid of his own shadow. Those are the final three matchups. But next week, the winner of the next matchup will determine who faces Vader going into the finals. So,
nice.
That's what we have to look forward to. Listeners, I would love to ask you guys to predict if you think the Crazy Cat Ladies would have won. Let us know. But we know Vader won. We sent down that ruling today. But out of the remaining battles coming up, we'll have the bracket as it stands right now on our website, and let us know who you pick, who you think is going to take this thing right to the wire. Fill out the rest of that bracket, if you will. Let us know what you think is going to happen. I'd love to see some predictions coming in.
Heck yeah. Let's do it. And listeners, if you haven't already done so, go check out our 8-Bit Dough giveaway on our website, digitalsouppodcast.com. And we have the rules and instructions for entering the sweepstakes there. So basically, you're going to rate, subscribe, and leave a review for the Digital Soup Podcast on Apple Podcasts, and then post a screenshot of that bad boy. We are going to give you submissions. And if you enter both in Twitter and Facebook, you get two chances to win this amazing wireless 8-bit Dough Nintendo controller, which is perfect for the NES Classic Edition. This controller is awesome, and this is kind of our thank you to you guys for listening. So if you haven't done so already, get your name in there.
Do it.
Do it or else. And before we put the lid on the soup completely, I want you guys to stick around afterwards to hear our unsigned music spotlight. This week's track is Natural Born by The Clays. And if you recall, we've played some Clays before, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, these guys, it's a four-piece rock band from Stoke-on-Trent in Staffordshire, England. And they formed sometime in 2013, but the music of the band started well before that. Longtime friends Adam and Mark began collaborating on songwriting many years ago. Sitting down with acoustic guitars, Adam quickly took up the mantle of lead vocals and lead guitar, while Mark supplied backing and the rhythm. That's rhythm. They worked hard on perfecting the melodies and harmonies before deciding they needed to take it to the next level. So definitely stick around for that track. And as I mentioned, the three of us at the Digital Soup Podcast want to thank you for listening. And to see any content, contact us, or interact in any way with us, head over to digitalsouppodcast.com. Remember, you can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to subscribe and leave us a review if you'd be so kind. Plus, we'd love it if you told a friend about us. So, from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, to all of you, stay safe, have a wonderful weekend, or week, and both, you know, whatever. We'll catch you next time. DS out.
Take care, guys.
Later, cheating Vader, who knows the cat women would kill him with that acid menstruation.
Gators. Sorry, listeners. There goes a few stars on the review.